As we continue this morning, we're going to talk about a very important subject. We're going to talk about this companion that we all have. You know, we all have this constant companion. And this constant companion goes with us wherever we go. I'm not talking about your dog or cat. The companion I'm talking about is not your friend. The companion I'm talking about is temptation. So this is one companion that you don't want to listen to, talk to, or even think about. And fortunately, Jesus tells us how to avoid temptation. He says, "Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation." Wow. You know, that sounds pretty simple. Let's just do what Jesus said. Let's keep watching and praying and avoid temptation. Life would be so much easier. And do you know what? If we just do what Jesus said, eventually that unwanted companion will leave us alone. Wouldn't that be great? That's what the Bible means when it says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the deeds and the desires of the flesh." That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So we're going to talk about temptation this morning because we're going through the book of Mark and we've come to the place where Jesus talks about temptation. Now, since it's Youth Sunday, I thought about giving a, quote, youth sermon, but, you know, I'm not really sure what a youth sermon is. You know, I just thought I would just stay on track and take the next passage because that's what we do here at this church. You know, we go straight through the Bible. Now, God's Word is for all people, for all ages, for all time. And we found that if you just go through the Bible, you'll cover every topic there is to cover, even in this modern world. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we've come to chapter 14, which takes place the night before Jesus was arrested. Jesus knows that Judas has gone to betray him. He knows that he will be arrested on this night. He has tried to prepare the disciples. He's told them several times that he would be arrested, handed over to the chief priests and scribes, then turned over to the Gentiles. He's told them that he would be mocked, beaten, whipped, crucified, and then raised from the dead on the third day. He told them that 3 months before he came to Jerusalem, 1 month before he came to Jerusalem, as he came into Jerusalem. But every time Jesus brought it up, the Bible says that the disciples were afraid to talk about it. They just didn't get it. And I'm assuming that they thought Jesus was just telling a parable. They thought Jesus was invincible. And he is, by the way. And they just didn't understand what was about to happen. But Jesus knew well what was about to happen. On the night before he was arrested, he said, "For this reason was I born." He knew he was going to the cross to take the sins of the world upon himself, so that all who would accept that payment, all who would accept him as Lord, would experience the forgiveness of their sins and receive eternal life. And because of the forthcoming agony, and we're going to just kind of review, it says that Jesus went to pray. So now, turn with me to Mark chapter 14, and let's look at this passage together. And actually, we're going to look at the second half of a passage that we began last week. So this is Mark chapter 14. Starting with verse 32, and you'll find this on page 913 in the Rack Bible in front of you. Mark chapter 14, starting with verse 32, and that's on page 913 in the Rack Bible. So, just follow along as I read it. And this is the portion that we talked about last week. "They came to a place called Gethsemane." Now, Gethsemane is a garden on the Mount of Olives. They had left Jerusalem, and they had started up the trail up the Mount of Olives, and they stopped in this garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And so verse 32 says, "And he said to his disciples, 'Sit here until I have prayed. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Now that was a key verse, and we talked about that last week. And if you have any thoughts or questions on that passage, I would encourage you just to go to our website. You can click on the first line and you can watch that service, or you can go to the sermons and listen to that sermon. So in verse 37, now this is the passage that we're going to look at today. He says, And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now that's the key verse for today. Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came a third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. So that's the passage we're going to look at this morning. Next week, we'll pick up the next passage. But look back at verse 35. It says that Jesus went to pray. Now, this was not unusual for Jesus. Jesus did that a lot. He often went to pray. He spent time in prayer before he started his ministry. He spent time in prayer before, he spent all night in prayer before he picked the 12 disciples. He seemed to have a practice of getting up early every day and praying. We saw that back in chapter 1. You could say that he was in the habit of praying. And I just want to suggest to you that that's a good habit to get into. And so while we're on the subject, I want to ask you, how's your prayer life? Are you in the habit of praying? Do you talk to God about the things that concern you? Do you praise God in prayer? Do you thank God for all He has given you? Now you might be thinking, well, God hasn't given me much of anything. Well, the truth is that He has given you everything. Everything you have comes from God. The very air you breathe, your parents, your food, your clothes, your talents and skills, the opportunities that you've been given, your school, your job, everything you have comes from God. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but everything you don't have is being withheld from you by God. For whatever reason. That's why it's a good idea to get on God's good side, don't you think? That's why it's a good idea to make it a priority to know God and to please Him by knowing and doing His will. That's what Jesus did. So yes, we should pray and we should be thankful. As you read the Gospels, it seems that Jesus prayed without ceasing. And do you know what? That's what the Bible tells us to do. To pray without ceasing. It says it in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 17. So in other words, we should be aware of the presence of God moment by moment as we go through our day. You can't really hide anything from God. He is omnipresent, present everywhere. The truth is, you are never alone. Many of you talk to yourself as you go through your day. I like to offer a better suggestion. Instead of talking to yourself, talk to God as you go through your day. Now you may ask, if Jesus is God, who is He praying to? Is he praying to himself? Now, that's a good question. And we've talked about that a couple of times because, you know, we've looked at these passages where Jesus prays. And the Bible answers that question. The Bible tells us that God is a triunion. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. Now, the word triunion may sound strange to you, but I want to remind you that you are a triunion. You are body, soul, and spirit. The body is the physical part of you. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And your spirit is that part of you that connects with God. You are a triunion. Which part of that is you? Is it your body? Is it your soul? Or is it your spirit? Well, it's all you. And in a similar way, God is a triunion. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. But the one God is a triunion, three in one. But when the Son came to earth, the Bible tells us that though Jesus was God, even though he is eternal, just as the Father is eternal, even though he is omnipresent, just as God the Father and the Spirit are omnipresent or present everywhere, although he is omniscient, all-knowing, he knows everything, although he is all-powerful, the Bible tells us that when Jesus took on flesh and was born as a baby, he laid aside his power and glory. It literally says he emptied himself and became a man. And so because he became a man, he was limited himself to a body. He set aside his power and glory as God. But he was fully human and yet fully God. And because, as Jesus said, God is spirit, it is easy for God to be both Father in heaven and Son on earth. But all that is to say that because Jesus laid aside his power and glory and limited himself by this body and took on flesh, he had to live by faith like the rest of us. But there's one major difference between Jesus and us. Because he is God, he came from heaven, because the Holy Spirit placed him in the womb of Mary. So Jesus did not come into the flesh by the sperm of Joseph or by the egg of Mary, but was conceived or brought into being by the Holy Spirit. You could say that God placed himself in the womb of Mary. So Jesus is without sin. When he walked on the earth, he was without sin. He was and is holy. And that's why everybody hated him, because he was holy. People hate him today because he is holy. So here is Jesus, the Holy Son of God who came from heaven, is now at the end of his ministry on earth, and he's about to become dirty. Now, what do I mean by that? He has been holy from eternity past, but he is about to have our sins placed on him. And then God is going to punish Jesus instead of us. It's inconceivable. Only God could come up with a plan like that. God is about to bring justice on sin and evil, our sin and evil, by placing our sin on Jesus and pouring out his wrath on Jesus instead of us. All this is to say that this is a terrible thing for Jesus. Yes, there will be the agony and the physical pain of the whipping, the mockings, the spitting, the rejection, the betrayal, and the torture of the cross. But that doesn't compare to the agony of him taking our sins upon his holy self and being separated from the Father in that process. All this is to say that Jesus is about to face the most difficult event in his earthly life. And so he's going to pray. Now I'm going to stop here and say that if you're here this morning or if you're watching or listening online and you're going through the most difficult time in your life, you should pray. Do what Jesus did. Why? Because if we belong to Jesus, if we come humbly to God, if we confess our sins and are filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, if we commit to do God's will as Jesus has committed to do God's will, then when we pray, all the resources of heaven, are open to us. His wisdom, His power, His understanding, His peace. And He will be our shepherd and lead us in His perfect will. That's what the Christian life is all about. And that is what is happening here in this passage as Jesus prays. I want to stop here and say that if you don't know Christ, or if you're a Christian and you're not walking with Christ, then God is under no obligation to hear or answer your prayer. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear. Now, that's reasonable, don't you think? If you've rejected Christ, if you decided to live your own life without God, it's reasonable. You've made your decision, you've gone your way. Now, you might be thinking, I don't reject God, I just don't want to follow Jesus. Now, wait a minute. If Jesus is God, if you reject Jesus, you are rejecting God. And that's just what Jesus said. Jesus said, he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. And he also said, unless you believe that I am God, you will die in your sins. Okay, so that makes sense too. That if you reject God, he is under no obligation to answer your prayers. So if you are not a follower of Christ, and you're facing the most difficult time in your life, and even if you're not facing the most difficult time in your life, but if you recognize that you need God, then I would recommend that you do what Jesus said to do. Humbly come to God, repent of your sins, and especially the sin of ignoring God. And then receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord. The Bible says, but to those who receive them, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Now, if you are a believer and you are knowingly, purposely disobeying him, first you need to kind of clear that up. And until you do, he's under no obligation to answer your prayers. That doesn't mean he won't. And actually, you know, I often say God always answers your prayer, right? He's either going to say yes, no, or wait. He always answers. But God is not your personal genie to grant you your wishes. God is not your personal servant to do whatever you command. No, he's the Lord of heaven and earth. His will and plans are perfect. And until you align yourself with his perfect will and perfect kingdom, he is under no obligation to answer your prayers. So, if you are a Christian and you're not right with God, then get right with God. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a wonderful promise. We can always start anew. It doesn't matter how dirty we get. He's always there ready to pick us up, dust us off, and point us in the right direction. So if you're a Christian and you do that, you confess your sins and make things right with him, then God will pour his mercy on you and open the windows of heaven for you and give you his wisdom and lead you in his perfect will. So now let's get back to Jesus. He is the Holy Son of God. He's completely surrendered to do the Father's will. He's ready to go to the cross. And he knows that the Father's will be difficult. Sometimes it is difficult to do God's will. It certainly was for Jesus. So what did he do? He went to prayer. And he asked his disciples to stay awake and watch. But Jesus found them sleeping. Verse 37, it says, he came and found them sleeping. And I guess you could say that Jesus was a little disappointed and grieved. And I want to suggest to you that Jesus is always grieved when we disobey him. Remember, he told them to sit here while he prayed. He didn't say, lie down and go to sleep while I pray. He didn't say that. And so he directs his first words to Peter. So he says to Peter in verse 37, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Now I want to talk about what Jesus said just for a few minutes. And he speaks to Peter because Peter is the leader. You know, every group has a leader, right? Peter was it. Now I want to say this because there's some of you here who just like the details. Now there's some of you here who don't like details, so please be patient with me while I give a few details. Now you may be wondering why Jesus calls Peter Simon. Anybody wondering that? Well, Simon is the name his mother gave to him. Simon is a Hebrew name. Peter was a Hebrew. And the word Simon, the name Simon, means listen or hearing. So he said to Simon, in John chapter 1, the story is there, you know, it was first Peter's brother, Andrew, who met Jesus. And so Andrew went to his brother, Simon, and said, Simon, we found the Messiah. And it was Andrew who brought Simon to Jesus. Okay, now when Simon came to Jesus, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas. Now, Jesus didn't just change his name. He gave him a new name. Now, Cephas is an Aramaic name that means rock. But the New Testament is not written in Aramaic. The New Testament is written in Greek. And the Greek word for rock is Petros. But we're English-speaking people, and we don't speak Greek. And so when the New Testament was translated from Greek to English, the English word for Petros, for the name Petros, is Peter. And so that's why we call him Peter, because we're English-speaking folks. But, you know, just as a side comment, Peter was never called Peter. So, I don't know why the translators didn't just translate Petros to rock, since that's really what Jesus said. Jesus said, you shall be called rock. That's what he said. But, and because he's the son of John, or John's son, you could call him Rock Johnson, right? That would be cool. I'm just saying. So, but it is interesting that Jesus changed his name to Cephas, which means rock. But in this instance, he doesn't call him Cephas. He calls him by the name his mother gave him, Simon. And maybe it's because he wanted him to listen, since that's the meaning of the name Simon. Because he's not acting like a rock. He's not acting like a strong believer, steady as a rock. He is instead acting like a floppy sponge. He's asleep. He's completely away from doing what Jesus told him to do. And he says to Peter in verse 37, Simon, are you asleep? Now, that obviously yes. You know, that's a rhetorical question. Just like the Holy Spirit, when he convicts us, when we've done something wrong, the Holy Spirit is always precise, pinpointing exactly what our sin is. The Holy Spirit is never vague. And then he says, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Okay, now, you know, that's helpful that he said that, because now we know Jesus has been praying for a solid hour. Jesus is not going to ask you or tell you to do something that you can't, by his grace, do. He told Peter to stay awake and watch. Peter could have done that. And secondly, I want to say that Jesus says, could you not stay awake for 1 hour? So we know that Jesus has been praying during that whole time, and the disciples missed out on it. Jesus has been in a time of intense dialogue with his Heavenly Father over about what is about to happen. For some people, to wait for someone, to be alert for 1 hour is just like beyond their normal mode of operation, right? But it can be done. And I want to point out that it was Peter and the disciples who missed out because they fell asleep. Wouldn't it be amazing to hear Jesus pray for an hour? Wouldn't that be a life-changing experience to hear what Jesus would say in prayer for an hour? They missed out on it. We've got a few words of what he said. He said, "Not my will, but your will be done." And that one phrase alone is a life changer. As we talked about last week, that's why Jesus is our example. He's not our example because he was kind and did nice things. No. He's our example because he knew and did the will of God. So don't you wonder, like, what else did he say? We'll never know until we get to heaven because those guys fell asleep. So then Jesus says to these sleepy guys, and this is, again, the key verse for this morning. Keep watching, verse 38, and praying that you may not come into temptation. So first he says, keep watching. Watch for what? Well, first of all, watch for temptation, right? That's the kind of the subject here. I want to ask you this morning, do you watch for temptation? Are you on your guard? Some people are totally oblivious to temptation. Most people just go with the flow with no concern or thought of the consequences. You know, everything we do, say, or even think has consequences, good or bad. Most people are not alert to temptation and they just go along with just about every temptation that comes along. They call that freedom. It's really slavery. I want to say this. People who don't know the Word of God are easily deceived. But today, we kind of need to reword that. Those who don't know the Word of God fall easily into temptation. In other words, if you don't know what God says, if you don't know what God's will is, it's easy to fall into temptation. Jesus said, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it. But narrow is the road that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Be one of the few, okay? That's his admonition to us. Now, do you know why most people don't find the road to life? They're swept away by temptation. Now, getting back to the disciples, they were told to stay awake and keep watch. But they started getting sleepy. Nothing wrong with sleep. Sleep is a good thing, right? We all need sleep. Some of you are feeling a little sleepy now. It's getting kind of warm in here, right? I can remember when I was working in Santa Clarita. We were living here, and I was commuting back and forth from Santa Clarita every day. And there were many nights when I was, you know, driving home at 11 p.m. or even midnight, and there were a number of times when I was having a hard time staying awake. And especially in the wintertime, you know, you've got the heater on and the heat's putting me to sleep. And I remember thinking, I can't fall asleep. I'm sitting in a 4,000-pound car going 55 miles an hour down these curvy roads. That's dangerous. I mean, that's a life issue. I've got to do something. I've got to open the windows, let that freezing air come in. Sometimes I'd open the sunroof and stick my hand out, you know, out the top of the car and let that cold air, you know, hit my hand and wake me up. I've got to stay awake. I just want to say we live in a dangerous, deceitful, wicked time in history. And we need to be alert to temptation. It's a life issue. Yielding to temptation can destroy our lives, destroy our family, destroy our marriage. More importantly, temptation can destroy our relationship with God. Now, getting back to the disciples. They had options. When they started getting sleepy, they should have recognized that. Peter was the leader. He should have stood up and said, "Hey guys, Jesus told us to stay awake. We can't fall asleep here." Just like that passage that Titus read this morning. There is no temptation except that which is common to man. All the temptations we face, you may be thinking, "Oh man, nobody ever has to face the temptation I face." Oh yeah, everybody has. Every temptation is common to everybody. And God is faithful, who will provide the way of escape. So when we're tempted, we need to look for that way of escape. Peter should have said, "All right, come on guys, everybody up. Let's do some side straddle hops or something. Let's make a line and give each other, you know, massage. You know, put your hands on the shoulders of the guy in front of you and start rubbing his shoulders. We got to stay awake. Let's start talking to each other and start talking to God. But they didn't do that. Now, they weren't just supposed to watch out for temptation. They were to watch for what was about to happen. You remember, that's really what Jesus said. He said, keep watch. Jesus knows that the spiritual forces of wickedness were coming upon him. Those who hated him were coming for him. The disciples were to stay awake and watch for that. Now, I want to stop and say right here that now, more than ever before, we need to know and watch what's going on in our culture and what is about to happen next. We need to know what's going on in politics, in government, in our schools, and in our neighborhoods. There are movements, there are organizations, full-time organizations, that want to rid any influence of Christianity in this nation. There are secular, atheist forces and organizations that want to steal our children. We need to be alert. We need to watch. We need to watch what's coming into our homes through the internet, movies, TV shows. Much of what comes into our home through the internet and TV are against all that God stands for and all that God tells us to do. I talked to a father yesterday who moved his family from the valley here to Pine Mountain Club. He moved his family up here because he was watching. He saw the powerful influence of the culture. He was watching his family, and he wanted his kids to grow up in a safe place and enjoy just being kids and grow up in a safe place. I want to commend him for that. He was an alert father. Now, hopefully they all won't move up here, but anyway, he was watching, okay? And he moved his family up here. But I want to warn you, it's coming here. The state of California is already in the process of forcing an atheist, godless curriculum on our schools. And yes, even these schools here. But I want to say this as a word of encouragement to all of you. There are great forces of evil that are sweeping our nation. Should I name them? First of all, I want to say that if you've had an abortion, I would not blame you or condemn you. I know you were lied to. But the doctors, the fields of education, they know they are killing innocent little human babies. They know that, and they're okay with that. That is evil. The evil of atheism, the evil of pornography, the evil of human trafficking, the evil of sexual immorality, all of these pervert and spoil and distort God's creation. The evil of taking away religious rights. The evil of taking away freedoms and liberty. It is happening. And there are those who, because they're in control, they want to control everything. Our founders wanted this to be a country governed by the people, not by a few elite folks. So it's happening, and we need to stand up to it. And here's what I want to say. Although we're living in evil times, those forces of evil are puny compared to the almighty power of God. We live in exciting times. And you young people have an exciting future as you follow Christ and see the power of God overcome powers of evil. But if we as adults yield to temptation, if we spend very little time watching and praying, and spend most of our time sleeping. And what do I mean by spending our time sleeping? I mean ignoring the things of God, being ignorant of His Word, not talking to God in prayer or spending time in worship and in fellowship with other believers as we're doing this morning. If we don't do those things, we will be defeated. And so, you know, I want to mention, especially those of you who are watching and listening online, we're glad that you're joining us. But you should be going to a church in the area where you live. Christianity is not a spectator sport. God tells us to meet together, to encourage one another, to unite together. If we stay isolated in our own little places, we will be defeated. We won't be able to stop the spiritual forces of wickedness that are moving across our land. And so notice again the reason to keep watching and praying. We're still on verse 38. He says, keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. Do you know that it is possible to live a life free of temptation? Do you ever think about that? Like, did you even ever know that that's possible? I want to tell you that it is possible. Jesus says so right here. And I can tell you from experience, and I know that many here could say the same thing, that there are things that used to tempt me, but they don't tempt me anymore. Because I've grown in Christ. There's this thing called spiritual growth. You know, there's physical growth and there's spiritual growth. And we are to grow spiritually. You, me, we all can live a life free of temptation. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you like that? Jesus told us how. Keep watching and praying. Then Jesus explains why watching and praying is so important. And this is reality. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that's right. We know what we should do. We may even know what Jesus tells us to do, just like the disciples knew what they were to do. But they didn't do it. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit of God is mighty. That's why we need to pray. Jesus knew that. Even the flesh of Jesus was weak. And by that I mean he had a weak human body like ours. His body needed sleep too. But this was not the time for sleep. So, verse 39. Again, Jesus went to pray. And it says he was saying the same thing. What does that mean, he was saying the same thing? Well, he was saying, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah, we need to keep saying that. Now, he said a lot more than that, I'm sure, but we don't know what else he prayed because the guys fell asleep again. But we know this, Jesus was continuing in his submission to the Father's will. That's what we need to do. Continue in surrender to Christ and determine in our spirit to do the will of God. I'd like to stop here and quote 1 John 2:15 through 17. Now, the disciple of John, he was actually one of the three that is here in the garden with Jesus. He was a dedicated disciple. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. Because of John's faithfulness in doing the will of God, the Lord Jesus appeared to him after the resurrection and told him what would happen in the future. And what Jesus revealed to John, John wrote down, and we have it as the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. So I'm saying all that to say that John knows what he's talking about. And here's what he wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. He says, do not love the world. Now, when he says don't love the world, he's not saying don't love people. He's not saying don't love rocks and trees. He's saying don't love the world system. And he's going to explain what he means by that. You know, of course, that Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, when Jesus said that, he was referring to the people. God so loved the people of the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But here, John, the disciple, is saying, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, listen, is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And listen, the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Those are powerful words. You want to abide forever? You want to live forever? Then do the will of God. Jesus didn't love the evil of the world. So again, he went to pray. And in verse 40 it says, again, The third time, he found them sleeping. It says in verse 40, their eyes were heavy. They didn't know what to say. Now, we should give them some kudos. You know, they didn't make excuses. They certainly could have. They could have said, oh, come on, Jesus, it's late. You know, like, it's past my bedtime. We've had a long day. We were up early preparing the Passover meal. We've had too much wine at the Passover meal. It's starting to hit me now. That's why we're so tired. We need sleep. But they didn't say any of that. They knew that Jesus is to be obeyed no matter the cost. You know that, don't you? Jesus is to be obeyed. No matter how difficult, no matter what the cost, no matter how inconvenient. And then look at verse 41. He came a third time. They're still sleeping. Then Jesus states the obvious. Are you still sleeping? There's that truthful, righteous conviction. They had to admit that it was true. They had to face their failure and own up to it. I want you to notice that even though they failed, even though they were not faithful or obedient, God's still going to do what He's going to do, right? Our failures and our faithlessness never thwarts God's purpose and plans. This is going to be shocking to some of you, but I'm going to say it anyway. God doesn't really need us. You know what? He doesn't really need you or me. But He gives us the privilege to be a part of His glorious plan for the redemption of this planet. He gives us the privilege to serve Him in His great kingdom. He gives us the privilege to be a part of what He's doing in the world. He gives us the privilege to be a part of His plan to help others and to change lives. There's no greater privilege than to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As the song says, this train is bound for glory. And we have the privilege to get on board and enjoy the thrill ride of a lifetime. But if we sleep, we just might miss that train. Then in verse 41, Jesus says, it is enough. In other words, He's prayed enough. He's ready. He's prepared to do the will of God and go to the cross. And you see, that's what we need to do. We need to pray until we're ready. And then He says, the hour has come. And what do you mean by that? Well, look back at verse 15. In verse 15, he says, He began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass Him by. Okay, so Jesus is acknowledging the hour is not going to pass Him by. The hour has come. And now the events are set in motion that will take Him to the cross. So let's talk about a few points of application on this passage as we close our time. There's a number of things that we could talk about and think about, and I think we should probably just have a minute where we just kind of think about what we've heard this morning and about what Jesus is saying here. First of all, I want you to notice the patience of Jesus. Isn't it great that God is patient with us? He's not condemning them. He doesn't put them down. No name calling. Just a simple statement of the truth. And then clear instructions as to what they are to do. They are to keep watching and praying. And so really, that's the point of application here this morning, right? We need to keep watching and praying. If you're not watching and praying, then start watching and praying. If you are watching and praying, then keep watching and praying. And then thirdly, know your weakness. Be alert to temptation. Make it a priority to overcome temptation in your life. It is possible. How? By watching and praying. Look to God for help. If you're struggling with a specific issue of bondage in your life, it could be pornography, anger, rage, sexual immorality, marriage issues, gather yourself together, because part of being alert means watching what's going on in your own life first, right? And go to prayer. You may want to gather other believers to pray with you over a specific issue. And I want to again say that if you're going through a difficult time in your life? Yes, now's the time to pray. Don't wait. So let's go to God in prayer right now. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and for his willingness to visit us from heaven. We thank you that he was faithful to his Father to do the will of the Father. What a great example for us. And we pray that you give us the grace to know your will and to obey your will. That's what life is all about. Don't let us miss out on what life is all about. And Lord, we want to ask your blessing on these young people. We pray that you would protect them and that you would give them a passion for knowing you and knowing your will. That they can be equipped so that they can be strong to stand against the forces of evil that are sweeping this nation. And I want to say that if you're here this morning or you're watching and listening online and you've never put your trust in Christ, I want to encourage you to do that right now. Maybe you believe in God, but you know you're not a follower of Jesus. I want to encourage you right now just to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I just thought you were a good teacher. I didn't realize that you were God. I didn't realize that you died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. And so right now I accept your death on the cross as a payment for my sins. And I receive your forgiveness. I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. And from now on, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. Because you're my King and my Lord and my God. And if you're here this morning, maybe you're a believer and you're struggling, I want to encourage you to turn to the Lord and just ask Him for mercy. God always answers the call for mercy. If there's something you're doing, if you're like the disciples and are disobeying Christ, then turn from that disobedience and receive His forgiveness. If you've been lazy and ignoring God, if you've just been caught up with other things and you have not really been watchful, if you fall easily into temptation, then say to the Lord right now, Lord, I don't want to be thrown here and there. I don't want to go with the flow. I want to follow you. And I know that I'm going to be going upstream. I'm going to be going against the current. But I know that's the right thing to do. And that's how I'll truly become fulfilled and happy. So Lord, thank you for making it so clear that your will is best. Your will is good. And your plans for us are good. And so this morning, Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh and anew and ask that you would begin a new work in us. That we could know and do your will. That we could talk to you throughout the day and experience your presence with us wherever we go and whatever we do. And we pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.